I'm Neil from Legends Podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
To Audibly Exquisite episode 57. I'm Mike Norton with particular Peter
Melnick. How are you doing?
And Pete, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What Audibly Exquisite is about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, and we are proudly presented by the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. We cover all facets of geek culture, be it movies, television, comic books, video games, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And let's see, you can find us on a wide variety of social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook.com/AudiblyExquisite. Give us a like on there if you are ever so inclined. Find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Peter Melnick and at
Mike_Norin.
Let's see, you can find us on the worldwide interwebs at
www.audiblyexquisite.com.
Let's see, you can find us on Instagram at
audiblyexquisite.
And let's see, I think that is, you can also, well, you already did Twitter. You can find us on a wide variety of streaming formats. You can find us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic, all available for all iOS and Android devices. And finally, you can find us on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe. 5-star if you're ever so inclined. And tell your friends to listen to the show. So, Mike, since our last episode, which I highly recommend checking out, episode 56, Savage Dragon as Fuck, AF.
We've been on a hiatus because we had a loss in the family.
Our old tech equipment passed on. Well, not really. It's still alive. But
let's take a moment of silence for that, Peter. Who can say where the road goes? That Mac brought us on lots of adventures.
Yes, it did. But now we got our new one.
36 adventures, Pete.
We got us. Well, we got on 56 adventures. 56.
Yeah, why do I keep saying that?
It's fine, it's fine.
Come on, brain.
But so, a lot has happened since a movie came out that honestly has a polarizing opinion. Our junior reporter, Jared Kiesler, actually, who's a big Batman fan, thought it was an okay movie, but he had a lot to complain about with that film. I saw it twice. Mike saw it, I believe, yesterday?
Yes.
You saw it yesterday.
In
I saw
private.
It. Wait, what?
Saw it in private.
You saw it private?
By myself.
Yeah. Well, I saw the movie twice. I saw it Thursday for the preview screening in 3D, which, in all honesty, if you're going to go see the movie, don't see it in 3D, because it is not worth the admission for 3D.
I thought you said it was worth
no,
3D.
If you do 3D, you do it for a Marvel movie or a Disney movie.
Something that's bright and colorful and fun.
More because of the fact just the effects are more practical for that, because, you know, you have that kind of stuff, you know, coming at your face, like the explosions and stuff. There really wasn't much. And by the way, in advance, there's going to be spoilers for the rest of this episode. So if you haven't seen Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, do not listen to this episode. Because we'll probably bring it up later on during different topics. Which, yeah, I'm looking at our little track sheet for today. Yes, we will. But in all honesty, I like the movie. I kind of take back my original rating. I gave it an 8 out of 10. I kind of go back on that with a second viewing. I did like it more the second time, but I think I was in the heat of the moment of like, wow, I really like this film. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. I give it maybe a 7.5 out of 10, to be honest. I liked it, but there was a lot of things. And once again, spoilers, in case you know you couldn't reach the pause button or the delete button. One of my biggest complaints was about Lex Luthor, and it wasn't what everyone complained about.
His hair?
Yeah. Not that he had hair, because guess what, fanboys? He did have hair.
He did have hair. He did have hair.
He had hair, but the problem is how he loses his hair. And in the tail end of the movie, what happens?
It's a no-hair rule, apparently, in, you know, DC Comics jails. Or, in other words, like, oh, shit, we've got to come up with a scene how he lost his hair.
Right. I mean, I personally feel, you know, the way they did it was
lame.
It was super lame, you know, in all honesty, because of
LeMay.
It was the way they did it. It was like such a cop-out, because you see him earlier in the movie playing in that little pool, you know, creating Doomsday. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, that got on his skin, you know, because he put his hands in there, and that causes the radioactivity for him to lose his hair. No, we end up getting it buzzed. We see him getting his hair buzzed off in prison.
Then something bad happened to him.
Well,
he turned into Oz.
Now, one complaint, and I've heard it on many places. I hear it on the internet, you know, with internet memes. I've heard it so far on the podcast, We Hate Movies, on the Sideshow Podcast Network. I disagree with the one complaint that we keep hearing over and over again. And I've made jokes about it, not going to lie. The ending of the Batman-Superman fight, your mother's name is Martha, my mother's name is Martha. Let's be friends.
Yeah.
It's not that. He stopped fighting because he realized, oh shit, I'm about to kill this guy.
Who's trying to save his mom.
Who's trying to save his mom, and I'm going to be just like Joe Chill, who killed my parents, you know? So I see why it's that, but I also understand, you know, the beating of a dead horse, because as somebody who loves beating a dead horse, Savio Vega on Reddit, I understand, you know, why that joke is funny, but it's already overkill, you know, a little over a week, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I think my initial text to you was, so, in Zack Snyder's cinematic universe, is everybody fucking miserable?
I was talking to Stephen Jandrew of the Gunna Geek podcast, and you know, I said to him, in all honesty, the movie, I went in with my expectations so low, they were getting scorched by lava. So, that's why I enjoyed the movie as much as I did, because I hated Man of Steel upon my first viewing.
I didn't like it that much either.
And we're actually going to be getting a review of the film very soon on our website on www.audiblyexquisite.com. It's going to be by Mr. Justin Marin in regards to the Superman franchises. He's going to be reviewing a bunch of the films, like throwing them up on there. And we're also going to be including his review of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. So I haven't heard his thoughts on what he thought of the movie so far, but he is a very critical person of these kind of things, because he's a humongous DC fan. So I'm interested to see, you know, his thoughts on what DC did with the film, to be honest. Now, what I mean, I liked when you saw the movie, how did you feel when Wonder Woman showed up?
Like how she showed up in the fight scene?
Yes.
Like Wonder Woman? I thought it was cool. She just kind of like appeared.
When I saw the movie both times in both theaters.
Oh, shit.
The entire, like a big chunk of the theater started clapping when she did her little, you know, reflecting the Doomsday beams off of her wrist. Cool. A lot of people cheered for that. A lot of people cheered. I'm like, this is kind of cool stuff about going to the movies. You know, it's like you're watching a fight literally on screen, you know, like for your enjoyment kind of thing, you know?
I mean, that scene was expected because, you know, I think it was in the trailer, but it was still cool.
Yeah, I mean, I liked, but still, this, like, you know, it took 70-something years for the character to finally make it to the big screen, and look where she is. And she was, you know, how do you feel, by the way, about how they introduced Cyborg, Defleur, Aquaman, and who was the fourth one was Wonder Woman with her WWE logo, which looked just like the WWE logo.
Well, it's straight from the comics. Batman has these little contingency boxes with information on every single superhero.
Right, but these were from Lex Luthor, who
he
was the one who created the names, and he even had his own personal graphic designer creating logos for all these people.
Smart.
So
I wonder if he's going to make them pay like
royalties?
Yeah.
You never know.
Look, Aquaman, know you like the A and everything, but you know, you kind of owe me for it. It's like the issue you run into. Like, people try and wear your shit without paying for it.
Exactly.
You know what? If Peter Melnick takes his time to make something for you, you fucking pay for it and you wear it with pride, assholes.
Even if it's half.
Even if it's half off. If I could take a picture, I'll show you the beautiful shirts we're wearing now. But we don't live in that kind of universe.
Well, fun fact, we're actually going to be selling Audibly Exquisite t-shirts. As a matter of fact...
Say that again, please. Audibly what?
Audibly
Exquisite
t-shirts, and they're going to be for sale. We have them available on the Redbubble account. You can type in Audibly Exquisite Knockout, but in all honesty... Well,
mine kind of reminds me of the CM Punk shirt a little bit.
The design is very, you know, 1970s boxing style, so I had to go with that.
It's friggin' sweet, people. You know, if you want to be like a person who... Say you're walking in the street and you're wearing a normal shirt. People are like...
A normal shirt from Garfield and Friends?
I love Garfield shirt, yes, and Friends. A normal shirt, yes. A normal shirt.
I love lasagna.
But you're wearing a normal shirt. People aren't going to recognize you and think you or amount to anything, but if they see you wearing an audibly exquisite t-shirt, they're going to be like, that person's going somewhere. They're doing something with their lives.
This is true. This is real.
That's what happened. We wore these shirts, and people are like, holy shit. Who are these fellas?
Well, I actually haven't worn my shirt yet. I'm waiting for our... we have a special upcoming episode. No spoilers, but...
No special.
You'll find out who it is, who we're going to have on in the next few weeks.
I'll give you a hint.
No, don't give any hints. Trust me, I want to keep this a little under wraps for this one. This I'm excited for. Comics.
Hello, everybody!
No. Anyway, like I said, you know, the shirts are for sale. I got to figure, contact, if you're following me on Twitter, the shirts are going to be about $20. Follow me on Twitter, @PeterMelnick. Send me a message, direct message or whatever. And I will set you up with getting a t-shirt.
Are they machine wash safe?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Because I know sometimes you go to regular t-shirts and the graphics all fall off.
Right.
But not these shirts, folks. You can pee on them, throw them in the washer.
Well, that's just disgusting.
Dry them and wear them again and pee on them again.
But anyway, these shirts are going to be for sale $20, I believe, $5 shipping and handling, give or take. So, you know, whatever works. But in all honesty, check them out. They're, you know, send me what color shirt you want and we'll go from there. Because believe me, there's going to be a lot to do with this. Anyway, so going away from selfless pandering self-promotion...
AudibleTrial.com/AudibleExquisite.
There we go. So
you want to figure out how to make t-shirts.
So anyway, so going back to Batman v Superman, they actually said Zack Snyder confirmed that Bryan Cranston is going... Oh, by the way, before we do that, would you recommend going to see this movie?
Yeah, go ahead and see it.
In all honesty, I say the same thing as well, because don't go read the critics' reviews. Form your own opinion. Although I do find it hilarious there are fanboys out there who believe, like the DC fanboys, hardcore DC fanboys, that believe... that Marvel is bribing reviewers to give this movie bad reviews.
I heard one that someone paid Kevin Smith off. Which these guys do get paid to do reviews sometimes in movies.
Right.
But I'm sure Kevin's...
A hardcore DC guy, especially right now with the upcoming May episode of The Fleur that he's going to be directing.
Totally agree with you. If Kevin, you know, I agree with Kevin said too on everything he said.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of his episode. And
to each their own. You know, it's their opinion.
To each their own.
You like Batman v Superman more than I did.
I enjoyed the film. You know, again, it was a solid effort. Like, they tried. I will say that. They tried very hard. And they made, you know... Do I think that this is going to stay as the, you know, the same style of film? No, I don't. Because you're getting The Flash with Ezra Miller, and it's going to be written by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. I believe the guys behind 21 Jump Street, the upcoming Spider-Man animated film, and Clone High. They know what they're doing. So we're going to be getting different takes of, you know, tone of film. Because we've only seen two movies in this universe. We don't know what the rest of the films are going to be like. Because you look at, you know, the Marvel movies. Look at, you know, Ant-Man. That's a heist movie. Guardians of the Galaxy. Space opera.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Captain America Winter Soldier, a political thriller. You have all these films of different genres. And different tones to all of them, different levels of humor, and they are, you know, different tones. You'll see it. It's going to be different movies, and that's how I feel it's going to happen with, you know, the DC Cinematic Universe. Because what's it called? Shazam, Captain Marvel movie.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
That's going to be lighthearted, they said. So, I've seen the trailer multiple times, especially, you know, for Suicide Squad. There is a different tone compared to what we've gotten with the other films.
Oh, definitely.
Although now they're saying that they're actually working on...
Reshoots.
Yeah, reshoots based because of Deadpool.
Not because of Deadpool. It's a major thing,
they said.
Well, yeah, probably contributing factor. Then also, like, Batman v Superman didn't do as well as they hoped.
Right.
So this is their time to, like, all right, we got to redeem ourselves, fuckers.
It's their time. And the dick fell off. What? But anyway, so, you know, there's a lot of... a lot of just opinions about this film, you know, that are unjustified. It's kind of becoming, and I'm guilty of admitting it too, it feels like, you know, another Fantastic Four situation. But it's the opposite. People are actually going to see this movie. And fun fact, 30% of people going to see the movie a second time are going to get a better opinion of the movie.
Well, I'm going to see it again so I can sit down and be more perspective about it.
Right.
Like, same thing with Star Wars. I was seeing Star Wars and I was too, you know...
I only saw Star Wars once.
Yeah.
Waiting for the Blu-ray next week.
you know, movies like that, you're so amped about seeing that you kind of forget about everything else going on around the movie.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense. You're more focused on the characters. But well, you pay more attention to, you know, what's going on around these characters. It makes more sense sometimes.
Well, you know what I found funny about the movie that I enjoyed while I was watching Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, which is still the dumbest title for a movie, by the way. I like in the Deadpool comics recently, they made fun of it.
Yeah.
There's a character who works for the Justice Department named Dawn. And she goes, "Hi, I'm Dawn of Justice." I love that part.
Well, but Man of Steel, people think it's a Superman movie. It's not a Superman movie. It's a movie about the world dealing with somebody of this magnitude for the first time.
And Batman is a bad guy, like, for three-fourths of the movie.
Yeah.
He is a bad guy, and Superman is the one that changes him. And the complaint that I've been hearing a lot, too, Superman dies in the film at the end. By the way, dies, quote-unquote. We're getting the sleep and return of Superman, to quote Max Landis. But, you know, the, what's it called? With Batman killing. Batman's killing. Batman doesn't kill. Batman doesn't kill. Okay, but do you know why he kills in the film? Because he doesn't really have that level of no more lives must die because of me. So now, because Superman died because of him, I can't kill anyone else ever again. That's what Batman's doing.
If only Dexter had that premonition.
Exactly. I actually picked up recently the first season of that series for $1.50. True story. But anyway, so now going, you know, again with Batman v Superman, there's also, you know, just, again, 30% of, you know, people are going to see the movie again. And I think sometimes you need to do that. And, you know, I actually had an argument with a friend of mine, and he said, you know, don't give those hacks money. Yeah, but I still want to, you know, go in. Like, I went in subjective. I was like, you know what? I'm a Marvel fanboy. I am absolutely a Marvel fanboy. If you see me right now while, you know, we're recording this, I'm wearing a Thor t-shirt, you know?
I'm wearing Jurassic Park.
So, anyway.
You're, you know, a little bit Marvel.
I'm a little bit killing dinosaurs.
All right. Let's focus, Pete. We have a podcast to do.
So anyway, now, you know, with we did mention about Suicide Squad getting reshoots, correct?
We did.
Now, do you think this movie, Suicide Squad, is going to benefit from the aftermath of Batman v Superman, like with how people saw Batman
in there?
I think,
like I said a couple podcasts ago, I think it's a mixture. It's going to be before, you know, like the scene, there's a scene where Batman's on top of Joker's car, you know, doing whatever, pooping on it, maybe.
Maybe.
But in, you
when
know,
you gotta go, you
Harley
gotta go.
And Joker in there, I think that's like going to be the first scene of the movie. And Harley gets arrested, and Joker ditches her or whatever, and well, like, oh.
Real quick, to interrupt you, you know what's actually the coolest thing about this whole film and everything? Like with the whole, you know, leading up to everything with Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad? Batman v Superman is one of the first things we were covering on this show. If you remember back in August 2014, we were talking about that movie quite a bit. And I remember one of the early scenes that was shown from that movie was the scene in the very opening, Batman running in and saving a little girl from a building that was about to crush her.
And that's one of the opening scenes.
And that was one of the first pictures we saw. I actually believe that was the very first picture we saw him in that suit. So it's kind of funny that, you know, this is all going full circle, you know, especially with what we've been doing. Like, we ended up, you know, this is
how much one little picture causes so much speculation.
Exactly. And, it, you know, I did appreciate the idea of, you know, I'm one of those, I liked Jesse Eisenberg's character. A lot of people hated him. I liked him as the role. But he did have his faults, I will admit that.
He did.
I did like the, I found it funny that a jar of piss was a plot point.
I did not.
That was just like, you know, Granny's peach tea.
It was gross.
But they, you know, it's just hard to describe, you know, with this movie. Because I feel they did a lot of good, but yes, they did a lot of bad. Because, you know, look what we're getting next, by the way.
Like
we're
Batman?
Well, not that, but we're getting Darkseid.
Ooh.
Darkseid is the big bad of the upcoming films, and I kind of dig that idea. Because this means there's a possibility down the line we could get a New Gods movie.
That'd be cool.
Because think about it, you know, Jack Kirby, who died, you know, 20-something years ago.
Who will not be in it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he, do you think this was ever, you know, he thought these characters would become movie characters?
No.
Darkseid.
That's why he drew them the way they did.
That's why, like, you know,
they never thought these, like, no one's going to ever have to portray these guys.
And I still say, you know, I was talking to a couple friends last night. I still say that, you know, Galactus movie should happen, you know, make him be the big bad of a, you know, Avengers movie when Marvel finally gets the rights back to Fantastic Four. But, you know, and I actually felt like Stan Lee over, you know, for a few minutes, just, you know, like, spreading the gospel about this. And, you know, we've got a long ways to go with this, you know, with these movies. And in all honesty, I was talking about this last year, the burnout, because of how many movies we're getting this year. Now, Mike, are you feeling that at all, the burnout?
No, because I think every time you think the burnout's coming, but when you see this movie, like Batman v Superman, you're like, holy shit, what can we get next?
Yeah, because I still...
That's the feeling you get.
Regardless of how I felt, you know, about the movie as a whole,
They know what they're doing. They're not... They gave you just enough.
Right.
It's like you're in rehab and you're recovering pills and you're like, okay, here's a little bit, but you're not going to get the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just made me think of an episode of House.
Okay.
But anyway...
Yeah, I mean, we've got so much cool stuff, you know, headed our way. I'm actually more excited. I saw the trailer for the new trailer for...
Lego Batman.
Not that.
Oh my God. I'm so excited about that movie.
X-Men Apocalypse. That I was excited for. I don't know why.
It did look cool.
That looked really cool. Like, I was shocked, you know, how... Just what we've got planned ahead of us for that. I'm bummed out we're not getting Gambit this year because that was delayed. Mm. They're saying, you know, and it makes sense because, like, they were going to start filming...
When does Doctor Strange come out?
Doctor Strange, I believe, is in October or November.
And we haven't seen a trailer or nothing yet.
But it will be because, you know, we will see one soon.
Civil War.
Marvel is very much an assembly line product with, you know, how they do their films.
And I like how they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, here's your Doctor Strange trailer.
Exactly. Like, it's essentially they're like the Steve Jobs and another thing. Oh, and one more thing, that thing, when he would do the Apple keynotes and he would, like, reveal the big, you know, new Apple thing.
Yeah.
And it's like that. Like, that's how we're getting our Marvel trailers. And it's kind of cool. Because, you know, you have that Apple-Marvel connection.
Like,
with
here's an image from, you know, Infinity War. And, oh, by the way.
Here's a trailer, too.
Here's a trailer. 2.5-minute trailer for Doctor Strange.
That was, like, last year when I went to go to the Ash vs. Evil Dead panel. Like, Sam Raimi comes out and he's like, hey, everybody, just to let you know, we're going to be showing you the trailer from San Diego Comic-Con. And everyone's bummed out because we're just going to get, you know, a panel and a trailer showing. And then Bruce Campbell walks up on stage. He's like, no, these people don't want the bullshit from San Diego. No, we're going to get a world premiere of Ash vs. Evil Dead. And we got to see the world premiere of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, I want to finish watching it. I only saw the first episode.
It's such a good series. You have, what's it called?
Hulu.
Amazon. Is it on Hulu now?
No, is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon Prime. You have to buy a Starz membership. But it's like $5 or something. You add that on top of your Amazon Prime account, which, by the way, is getting Doctor Who real soon. So if you ever want to get into watching it, I do recommend giving it a try. It is a good series. Start off with Eccleston and then go from there. Because it is, you know...
I have a family, Peter. I can't go down that route.
You can still watch it. You can still watch it. But like I said, you know, there is just a lot of really cool stuff you can get on, you know, Amazon Prime and Netflix and everything. It's kind of cool. So now, going back to the trailers and everything, they showed during the 2D showing, my second showing for it, they showed Lego Batman. I really dug the trailer. I thought it was, you know, really funny. They showed like an evolution of the character, you know. So I'm kind of excited to see. You know, what did you think of it?
I thought it was cool. I can't wait for it. I'm so disappointed that it doesn't come out for like until 2000. What year are we in? 17.
2017. Next year.
Yeah, I was like, my favorite part is when he goes into like the Batcave and there's like hundreds of different bat suits and they're all labeled.
I enjoyed the part where he's talking about all the different phases he's gone through.
Oh, yeah.
And it just shows like, you know, they show like an up-close shot of bat nipples and they go, and then there was that weird phase in 1966 and they show Adam West dancing.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, going away from that, you know, I kind of find it funny that, you know, we're getting all, like, again, you know, we're getting all these kind of movies, but did you actually expect to see, you know, a Lego Batman movie especially?
No.
I think it's... Never. Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that we're even getting this in the first place. Because, you know, you have, you know, things like this. You never expected this. And you're not even expecting, you know, like a Luke Cage kind of show, you know, like which we're going to be getting from Netflix, which actually just had its first trailer drop. And it was like a 20-second teaser trailer, give or take, with... he's getting shot at by these mobsters or whatever. And as he's getting shot at, he all of a sudden just goes... You know, I'm sick of you guys because I always have to buy new clothing. So it's that Marvel humor, which, you know, going back to Batman v Superman, man, it did not, like, it had humor, but it was awkward when it would have humor.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, apparently Jimmy Olsen was the one that got shot in the beginning of the film.
Yeah, because Zack Snyder quotes, "We felt there's so many characters that one more character would be too much."
you didn't need to have him then. You could have, like, apparently, you know, the theatrical cut, it's just some guy, director's cut, Jimmy Olsen. So he has some Jimmy Olsen's blues, which is a reference I did not expect to make on this show. Spin Doctors. Anyway, so now going with Netflix, you know, they just, two weeks ago, they dropped Daredevil Season 2 on us. I saw a little bit of it, not much, but I will say that I liked what I saw. You know, they definitely nailed the tone, like the dark tone of, you know, what it's like having the Punisher in that universe. My unfortunate ability watching it, I never actually got to see Punisher appear yet. I did see him shoot people.
I always forget that the Punisher is now sharing the same universe as Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what, I always go with that, you know. It's true. You have, you know, this
weird
psychotic killer. And yes, he is a psychotic killer going off, you know, in the same universe. There's, you know, talking raccoons and talking trees. Again, It's like, you know, look at Jessica Jones. It's like, that's actually, in my opinion, much more dark because you see, you know, there's implied rape, there's murder, there's this, there's that.
I miss Kilgrave already.
I'm one of those. Do you think he actually died? Because this is Marvel. Like, they can bring him back.
I hope not. I hope that's part of his superpowers, be able to, like, repair a broken neck.
I want to see him back. I liked, you know, imagine him coexisting in the same world as, like, Thanos, and just walking up to Thanos and going, hi, I'll have that Infinity Gauntlet. Okay. And Kilgrave is, like, the new big bad in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That'd be funny.
It would be. But, yeah, I mean, I watched a little bit of it. You saw, I believe you saw the entire series, didn't you?
No.
You saw most of it, though?
I'm on episode 8.
You're still quite a ways, though. So, yeah. In your opinion, what did you think of the series?
It's cool. John Bernthal really captured the Punisher.
That's what a lot of people I know have been saying, like, even more so than Thomas Jane, who is, like, he's a fan favorite, especially, you know, with the 2004 film and the early 2000s fan film, Dirty Laundry.
He's definitely more of a psychological Punisher.
Thomas Jane.
No, John Bernthal.
Bernthal is psychotic.
Well, you know, because he has more episodes to, you know, get his character across. These guys just have an hour and a half to become the Punisher.
With John Travolta involved.
Who?
Anyway.
What? Where?
Boom. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited, you know, that we're, like, there's rumors, of course, you know, on the internet that they may, in fact, do a, Punisher Netflix series, which I don't want to see, believe it or not.
It would be hard. It would get old after a fourth episode of him killing everybody.
You can do an adaptation of the Welcome Back or Welcome Home Frank storyline by Garth Ennis, or, you know, maybe like
Warzone.
Any of the Punisher Max, but it's hard. It's legitimately hard.
Yeah.
You know, because you have so much, you know, you have to do within, you know, that short amount of time. So, I don't think it's going to happen. That's just me
either.
So now, you know, going
to things that might happen.
Suicide Squad is getting...
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah, I'm looking through our track sheet. But anyway, a Lobo movie is supposedly in the works, and it's actually going to be written by the person behind the Wonder Woman film.
Weird.
Upcoming film. I don't know how I feel about this, because, like, I feel like Lobo is an example of a time period in comics when it was, like, every character had to be this big, bad, extreme kind of character. You know,
cigar-smoking.
Because of what's-his-name, Frank Miller's run, you know. Yeah. Which, by the way, I kind of find it funny, and we're going to go into this later on. But in movies, it's kind of being made fun of now, the grimdark kind of movies. That's what they call them, grimdark. And yet it was embraced in the 80s, 90s, grimdark comics. You know what I mean? Like, even at a point when Batman was so dark, his ears were like 18 feet high. You know what I mean?
That.
So it's like, you know, it's kind of funny that we're lampooning that era.
Gothic tone to it.
Yeah, that's what I like. I honestly liked that era of Batman, not going to lie. Like, the just over-the-topness of that costume. Like, that's not practical.
Long Halloween costume was cool.
I like the Long Halloween. That's one of my all-time favorite stories, you know, especially, you know, Jeff Loeb, just in general, just a phenomenal writer. But with a Lobo movie, I feel like, you know, if a Lobo movie actually happens, we are officially, you know, draining the well for whatever we can get. Because I like Lobo, but would I want to see a Lobo movie?
No. Maybe appear.
And especially with the grim, dark universe, I can't even see him appearing in there because he's kind of fun, a fun character.
Yeah, that would be weird.
But now, you know, also...
Ron Perlman could play him.
Ron Perlman can apparently play anything, because he's like the new Nathan Fillion when you think about it. Like, everyone wants to have him play anything. But I kind of like the fact, you know...
He could play the Tick.
He could play the Tick, but he could also, you know, we could also go with the other topic that's right before this. Linda Carter is going to be here on Supergirl.
Oh, shoot. I deleted that by accident.
So Linda Carter is going to be on Supergirl. I mean, in all honesty,
Wonder Woman.
Do you think, like, they haven't said who she's playing. And I kind of find it cool that, you know, we're getting that connection between the old school DC stuff connecting to the new stuff.
Because
what are the odds that you see down the line an Adam West appearance on Gotham?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Especially two seasons now. I think it's, you know, because isn't Goyer in charge also of the DC television series? Yeah. I think he's so, you know, against it because it has actually a little bit of fun in it.
That's true.
But, you know, with Linda Carter, you know, appearing on Supergirl, it's kind of cool that, you know, Supergirl is being praised as, like, you know, the super fun show next to The Flash, which they just had their crossover episode. I'm planning on, you know, checking it out real soon.
Me too.
And it's, you know, it's just kind of cool seeing that stuff. Now, going over to the flip side, Amazon is getting that Netflix, or that Amazon reboot of The Tick. And they just announced us, Peter Serafinowicz is going to be playing The Tick. It's not going to be Patrick Warburton, who, you know, was synonymous with the character back in, like, the early 2000s. So it's kind of funny, you know, there's already, you know, outcry about it, by the way. Like, he shouldn't play the character, you know, it's supposed to be Patrick Warburton. This is how I feel about it. Patrick Warburton's too old. And yeah, he, like, you were talking about how he's in Ted 2. Still, he's too old, and, you know, he's going to be in that costume for hours on hours on end. But he is playing the role of an executive producer, which is nice. And then they ended up saying that the new Tick series is going to be lampooning the new dark tone of superhero movies. Like, you know, the Chris Nolan films and the Zack Snyder. Well, it's lampooning it. So, you know, like, I had a conversation, like, I've seen people talk about it, and some people say they shouldn't do that. They should, you know, just go with what made the Tick work, you know.
Made the Tick tick.
Exactly. So, you know, you have that, and you just can't, like, they're not, you know, doing that. It's supposed to be a fun, goofy series. But do you honestly think they should do, you know, commentary on the social hero, or superhero film genre in general?
I think they should definitely make fun of it.
I'm torn on it, to be honest. Like, I think they could, but it's like, you know, could it work? I don't know. But now, you know, going along with, you know, that different people playing different roles, director Shane Black, who's in charge of the Doc Savage film that's going to be happening down the line,
okay,
he wants Dwayne Johnson to play Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze.
Really?
See, I'm down for that because Dwayne is a phenomenal actor. Like, he is really, really good, and he can, you know, knock anything out of the park. Just like, you know, he knocks back those gigantic pizzas he has on his Instagram. If you've ever seen that, that's one of the most entertaining things to watch. He'll eat, like, about 15 pizzas after his workout because he burns so many calories and he needs to, you know, replenish it. And so he has a lot of pizza, a lot of carbs.
Love pizza.
I love pizza, too. You can tell. So anyway.
Speaking of pizza...
Oh, God, really? You're going with it as that? You go ahead. Holy crap.
Speaking of pizza, Negan is most likely to be turning someone's head into a pizza coming up soon.
Okay, that was dark. I appreciate it, but that was dark. Wow, yeah. So they're saying, like, Norman Reedus is going on saying, like, that was, like, the most shocking thing he's ever watched the episode because he's seen it already. Yeah, they're... What do you think is going to happen?
Well, internet rumor is that it's going to end with a cliffhanger. They're going to show the point of view of the person being killed. It's going to be, you're going to see, like, the bat coming down and bashing their face in.
Oh, and it's just, like, it's going to be, it's going to fade to black.
Yep.
Oh, God.
See blood spraying everywhere, and all of a sudden, boom, to black. And you're going to have to wait till October to find out who it was.
That's smart. That is so smart. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be like, if they're going to do what they did this past year at New York Comic Con, it's probably going to be, you know, a premiere at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I thought was really cool. You know, supposedly, what's his name? Norman Reedus shows up on the motorcycle in the garden. You know, which is kind of cool.
Like Undertaker?
So, yeah. So
dead man walking.
He's here. Anyway.
That was so weird.
But yeah, like, we've got so much, you know, stuff just happening with all this, you know? It's a cool time to be a fan of this. And just like,
I'm disappointed Negan showing up now because I so can't wait to see more of his character.
Well, that they're doing that on purpose.
And the Kingdom also is apparently going to show up.
Well, I think it was more because of this. He, what's his name? Who plays Negan again?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan while that season was going on, I imagine like they were shooting like the final stuff for Batman v Superman,
oh, probably,
where he's
yeah,
playing
he was busy.
Thomas Wayne, you know, alongside his wife Martha.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Martha is his mother's name. But anyway, so I think, you know, now it's the summertime, they're shooting the new series. So now he's like more available, he's much more available for them, you know, for the shooting schedule, which is cool, you know. Now, speaking of, you know, things that are scheduled, the Joker's name is supposedly going to be revealed in an upcoming Justice League comic. Mike, do you actually believe that's going to happen?
No, I think it's going to be John Cena!
I think it's going to be very much like that episode of the Doctor Who where it was, quote-unquote, the Doctor's name. It's going to be that. It's going to be, you know...
Joking.
It's going to be something like that. It's going to be like, you know...
Joker.
You and I had a conversation about this one day. The thing about the Joker that works is he has the changing past. He never has the same past. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, you go back to, you know, the Nolan movies. You know how I got these scars? And he had like 14 different reasons of how he got those scars.
What would you do if like DC sold out to like, if it's a big State Farm ad?
And it's oh, like, God.
And the Joker is Drake from State Farm.
And he just looks sad on the phone. Yeah, I could see that.
It's just a page, an ad for State Farm.
But yeah, they're like,
They bought, you know, paid for all this comic.
They're going for like...
Broke?
It's not going for broke, but it's more like, hey, check out our issue. Like, they've been doing it a lot, like, with the variants. I mean, I'm a sucker for some of the variants. Like, I've been getting, like, the coloring book variants because they're kind of cool to look at. But, I don't know, I'm just, you know, I want to see him try something different, but I just, you know, I don't want to be like, hey, check this out, because this is going to be an issue where, you know, you go to your local comic shop and they're going to have 800 copies of it available because of the fact, you know, speculators coming in saying, I'm going to buy this because, oh my God, it's going to be that. It's going to always be that. It's kind of annoying because congratulations, now you have a book that, you know, people are thinking is going to be like, I'm going to get my kids to go to college with this book, and it's going to be like a $10
Joker's
book.
Joker's Daughter.
Joker's Daughter, The Death of Superman. By the way, you notice what company...
Earth 2... Number two, when Scott was gay.
Yeah, he was gay.
Oh, I
Green
was
Lantern.
Also thinking.
But like...
With the Wonder Woman movie.
Have you noticed real quick, by the way, what company these books are?
DC.
Yeah.
But hold on, going back to Wonder Woman, the solo movie, that's set in like the 40s.
Right.
What's the chance that we're going to see like possibly Alan Scott and Jay Garrick?
I like your thinking for that. That's... Well, we have Jay Garrick now, you know, in De Fleur, but...
We also had Jay Garrick on our... Oh, we didn't have Jay Garrick. He didn't play Jay Garrick.
Right.
He rumored was going to play at one time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so much cool stuff that, you know, we're getting with this.
I would be freaking sad if it's like the legit, you know, what was it, Justice Society of America?
Yes.
Like, you know, the red shirt, green pants, purple cape, Alan Scott, and...
You want to have this, and you want
to... Tell me that wouldn't be so cool to see. And knowing Snyder, because he likes the old crap like that, he might try and push for it, even though he's not attached to this movie. But you could see him trying to influence him to do something like that.
He'll probably have the role of a producer, at least executive producer or something.
The Minutemen and Watchmen are essentially, you know, well, he didn't do Watchmen, but, you know, just basically just Justice Society and, you know, Watchmen or Justice League.
Again, I'll say it again. It's a cool time to be a fan of this stuff because we're getting, you know, we might be getting that now. If you told me, you know...
Justice Society of America movie?
If you told me 5 years ago, you know, the Justice Society of America in general would appear in a movie, I would have thought you were crazy.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Now we're getting that. Now... I guess like a little bit of a fan cast. Who do you want to see play the role of, you know, Alan Scott, for example?
That's a tough one.
I think if I was in charge, I would go, and I'm dead serious, I would go with Nathan Fillion because he's a little bit doughier now. Mm-hmm. And when you think of 1940s heroes, you kind of think of them a little bit, you know, flabby or whatever.
What about John Wesley Shipp as Jay Garrick?
I wouldn't do that only because, you know, the whole crossing the streams, you know, of everything. And they wouldn't do it because, like, you know, they want to distance themselves. By the way, I keep seeing every once in a while your Flash Pez dispenser. Is that Flash from the TV show or the comic?
I think it's a Flash.
Okay, yeah, because from over here,
with
it looks
weird
like the golden
where all their lips are, or all their mouths are wide open for some reason.
Yeah. So, anyway, now before we go, a quick little plug ski for audibletrial.com/...
Audibly exquisite.
Find thousands of audiobooks and one free audiobook of your choosing. You can cancel at any time. Now, anyway, let's see. Myself, I've been listening to the audiobook for Christopher Reeve, Still Me.
Still on it?
Yeah, I like the book. You know, it's just an interesting take on his life, you know? So, anyway, Mike, yourself?
I actually been reading the
Jurassic Park. I remember seeing it on your table.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. I haven't read to me by Jeff Goldblum with no, you know.
He doesn't actually read the audiobook, but okay.
Oh, yeah. Also, dinosaurs attacked us people.
So now, once again, go to www.audiblyexquisite. Nope, audibletrial.com.
audibletrial.com/audiblyexquisite.
And let's see, you get thousands of audiobooks and one free audiobook and 1 month to choose that audiobook. So now, before we go, once again, you can find us on a wide variety of social media platforms, and we are also on the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, gunnageek.com. Let's see, you can find us on facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. You can find us on Twitter, @TheAEPodcast, @PeterMelick, and @Mike_Norin. You can find us on Instagram, @audiblyexquisite. You can find us on Periscope, @TheAEPodcast. And let's see, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. 5-star if you're ever, ever, ever so inclined. Leave a nice little review because we appreciate hearing that and helps out, you know, with the iTunes algorithm, the algorithm with, you know, the drum kit. And let's see, finally, go to
www.audibleexquisite.com
and check out the latest articles and news from our site. And finally, one final thought. And then there's one more thing. I guess I'm going to give a shitty Steve Jobs. You go to TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, all available for all iOS and Android devices, and listen to our show streaming on those devices. So before we go, for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
For Mike Norin, I'm Swamp Thing.
Have an audibly
exquisite week. Thank you.